Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 4 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 49. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to invite you to sign up for my newsletter over at DarrenHibbs.com. I send out semi-regular updates about the content I create in audio, video, and book form, and I think you'll find them encouraging in your walk with the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? We want to hear you. We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Paul here is making a metaphor to sowing seed of one kind, like he was talking about, and having that germinate and sprout up into something different. And so what he's saying here is this body that we have now, this physical human body, in the resurrection, when it dies, this is a common theme throughout Scripture, is when this seed of our human body dies and goes in the ground, it sprouts into something new, something better, something stronger, something everlasting. And so this natural body is sown into the ground, if you will, in death, and it is raised to eternal life, a spiritual body. Now, we know from Revelation, other passages in the Bible, that we will have physical bodies forever. Many people believe that the Bible teaches that, you know, we'll kind of like float on a cloud like an angel and strum a harp in complete boredom for all eternity. And that's not what the Bible says. That's what Hallmark says, and it makes for some good greeting cards, but that's not what the Bible ever says that we'll be doing. The Bible actually says that we will get resurrected bodies. We will get new bodies, incorruptible, imperishable bodies, bodies that won't die. But they will be physical bodies, and we will be physically here on the earth. But they will be born, as Paul says here, in the spiritual realm, in this realm now that we cannot see, but that is very much real, just as real as what we can see. And they will be physical, but they will be born in spirit. Let's continue on, the last half of verse 43. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The last Adam is Jesus, if you're keeping track here. So the first Adam, meaning the actual man named Adam that God created, the first human being, he became a living being with his last Adam, Jesus, the one who saved us. The one who redeemed this flesh from death. Paul says he became spirit. Verse 46, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have become the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So what Paul's saying is when Jesus came, he came to redeem this flesh for all eternity, but he's also, as the Bible also says, he's the firstborn from the dead. He is the prototype. Jesus, his resurrected physical body is the prototype, if you will, by which all other humanity that believes in God, all other flesh that's put their faith in Jesus will inherit this prototype resurrected body that Jesus has. We will live forever. That's the point Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 15. This is so important. Eternal life, the resurrection of the dead, is one of the most important doctrines, theologies of Christianity. Without it, we are nothing. If Christianity is about having a better life now, I mean, that's not half bad. I mean, everyone wants a better life now, but if that's all there is to it, Christianity is nothing. Everything hinges on this reality. Is there eternity with God? Do we spend eternity in the presence of God or not? And this is not just, if you wonder about these kinds of things, this is not man creating some, you know, positivity. You know, we want to think, okay, well, we don't want to have to feel so bad about death, so we invent these ideas where, you know, we live forever and we have this eternal life. That's not what this is, because God comes and explains eternal life. Every other religion has got some kind of like afterlife mentality, and it's very different from the worldview that Jesus has given us, that the Bible has given us about eternity. There is eternal life, incorruptible human flesh. We will be recreated with new human bodies, birthed in the Spirit of God, but actually taking on physical flesh for all eternity. Revelation tells us that, contrary again to Hallmark theology, we're not going to heaven to sit on a cloud and strum a harp and be bored. Revelation tells us, and as well as many other scriptures in the Bible, they say that God is coming to earth to dwell with man. God created this earth not only for us, but also for himself. He wants to dwell here on earth with his creation. He's going to give us incorruptible bodies that we will live in forever. But that's the key thing here. The resurrection of the dead, the fact that Jesus is coming back for us, that we will live forever with him. Everything hinges on that. If you lose the resurrection of the dead, if you lose eternity with God, you lose your salvation, you lose Christianity. You can't have Christianity without eternal life after resurrection from the dead. They don't go together. And there's always been, since the time Paul is talking to the Corinthians here, there's always been a movement, obviously spawned by Satan himself, spawned by the enemy, to convince people that there is no eternal life, that there is no resurrection, and eventually that there is no God. And Solomon makes it very clear. Only a fool says there is no God. When we look around us, we see so much evidence. It takes quite a step, quite a leap of faith to believe that there is no God. We see the evidence all around us all the time. What's different here is having faith that Jesus is who he says he is, and believing that he truly has risen from the dead, and that we will inherit that same eternal life from him. And that's the power of Christianity. Because when you see into and taste that eternity as a believer, it will change you. John Wesley was a famous preacher in England in the 1700s. So famous, in fact, that a man who was starting a colony in Georgia in the United States asked him to come and be the pastor over the new city of Savannah, Georgia. And so John Wesley came over thinking that, you know, he would do a good work amongst the Britons there and with the Indians as well. And John Wesley's whole understanding of Christianity was he needed to do enough good works to make God pleased with him so that he could go to heaven. And that drove John Wesley insane. And what John Wesley really struggled with was he was terrified of death. Everything about death terrified him. He wrote about it in his journal all the time. And when he went to the New World, when he went to Savannah, he ended up on a ship with some people called the Moravian Brethren. And at one point he writes in his journal that there was this huge storm that came up on the sea, and it was tossing the boat there and back and forth as they're crossing the Atlantic over to the New World. And at one point the storm was so bad that it actually, the sails were already down, of course, but it broke the mast in two, and the mast came shooting through the decks. And he said that the sound of the splintering wood was just immense. If you can imagine these massive pieces of wood crashing together, the noise would have been deafening. He said that the Moravians during the storm, they were in the bow of the ship worshiping the Lord. They were singing. They were having a worship service. And he said everyone else was terrified that they were going to die. When the mast crashed to the decks, they were sure that it punctured the hull and they were all going to drown at sea. And so when that mast crashed to the decks, everyone shouted. And John Wesley said after everyone stopped shouting, you could hear one thing, and it was the sound of the Moravians still singing. They never stopped. And John Wesley was amazed by that. He asked them, weren't you afraid of dying? And the leader of the Moravians said, oh, good heavens, no. We know where we're going. We have no fear of death. And that shocked him initially. But then over the next several years in Savannah, he watched it. He watched their lives, the way they lived. They really were not afraid of death. They had reconciled what Paul is talking about. There really is an eternity. We want to exchange everything we can do in this life for the glory of God for eternity. They really lived that way. And John Wesley had never encountered someone like that before. On his way back to England from Savannah, Georgia, several years later, he wrote in his journal, there was another storm. And he was terrified. He wrote in his journal, he was so afraid of death. And he realized that this fear of death, it wasn't okay. And he realized that he didn't know God. Because the people he met who knew God, they weren't afraid of death. They had overcome this fear somehow. And so he actually wrote, I went to save the Indians, but who will save me? But then famously, not long after he got back to England, people started explaining to him, no, it's not your good works that save you. You're saved by grace through your faith in God. And as he came to understand that, he actually was able to give his heart fully to the Lord, and he lost that fear of death. And he became an even more powerful preacher. He changed England in so many ways. He changed America in so many ways after that. Losing this fear of death is important because we have to understand, as believers, there is an eternity. It's very real. It's more real than the world we live in now. And it's so much longer lasting. It needs to become a reality. As believers, eternity should be our primary reality, and this life should be secondary. And many people believe that, you probably heard the statement, though they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you truly are heavenly minded, if you are like Paul saying, like this heavenly man, you will be of the most earthly good anyone has ever been. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.